Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to just stand over here. Actually, it's okay. If some of you would like to move up, that's fine too. But some of the Burmese saints needs translation, so I have to probably stay back there. Just fill up this area. Yeah. Okay, well, I've never been in this area for this type of fellowship, young working saints, some younger than others. A few have turned in some questions. They're good questions. But I have a lot I want to share. But I will touch this first a little bit, and then maybe if there's time. Now, we end this session at, okay, hard stop, right? 4:30. Okay, all right. All right, here we go. It's all anonymous. I don't know who these people are, so don't worry. How should we interpret or expound on, quote, not loving our soul life, unquote, and, quote, taking care of our well-being, unquote? So we are talking about this apparent conflicting matters. One is the very explicit teaching of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, that we are not to love our soul lives. In fact, it talks more than that. The Lord said more than that, and that is that if anyone wants to follow me, he must take up his own cross daily and deny himself, number two, and number three, they would not care or love their soul life. And you cannot find anything more clear and more explicit and more definite than the Lord's own words, not only to his disciples, but to all of us, his believers. So I'm not going to get into what all that means. You know what that means. It's basically taking the way, what we call the way of the cross, which, by the way, is not one of the ways to follow the Lord. It is the only way to follow the Lord. The Lord didn't mince words. The Lord did not, you know, hedge. The Lord did not put some leaven into his speaking to make things easy. The Lord called it as it is. And so for us who love the Lord, we should be ready to accept this, to take this, in a sense, not with resignation or bitterly, but, if I may say so, with joy and with love and with, of course, much consecration to the Lord. Then the question becomes, well, when do we take care of ourselves? Here, when do we take care of our own well-being? I guess that means, what, your happiness, huh? Your health, maybe, huh? Your life, your human life, you know, like your job, your family, your spouse, your children, and in that realm. And basically your human life, on the human life. Well, these two things ought not be conflicting matters, all right? One is to follow the Lord in a divine path, the path that he has ordained for all his followers to take. And not only he spoke this, Paul especially spoke too much about this, and often using himself as the example and the pattern. And so, did Paul take care of his well-being? What do you think? Frankly, I don't know. it seems that he was deliberately undertook a life of suffering and inconvenience and with much affliction and all of this. Of course, in his case, very obviously, to fulfill what was lacking in the affliction of Christ in order to build up the church, the body, he submitted himself to that kind of life. Brother Lee, I think in his biography of Brother Nee, you know, those of you in the training, you've been through my class on the seer of the divine revelation. I think there's at least one time that Brother Lee said this of Brother Nee, is that in his co-working with Brother Nee over around 18 years in the mainland of China, he never saw one day of happiness for Brother Nee. He never saw one day of joy-filled day for Brother Nee. Now that's something to take note of, because he was close to Brother Nee and was an observer and a follower of Brother Nee. For him to say this, unless he's really exaggerating, must have a lot of truth to it. So the Lord himself, how about the Lord Jesus himself? He was said, is it in Isaiah or one of the prophets? He was a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows, somewhat like this testimony of Brother Nee. Are they thinking of their well-being? I don't know. Then you have, back to the life of service class in the training, we read, every year in one term, this book on character, right? Character, not the one by Brother Lee, but the character of the Lord's worker by Brother Watchman Nee, okay? And in that you will find a couple of chapters on what? On having a mind to suffer, a mind to suffer. Whether you suffer or not, you have that mind to suffer. That's from Peter. And there's at least another chapter on where 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9 was used, about how Paul, you may say, mistreated his body. That's quote, huh, in quotes. He said he would, his running is not what? He's not beating the air, am I right? And he's not what? I forgot the verse. Anyway, he said, in the meaning of the word is, you know, a person that beat himself black and blue, all right, so that he would bring his whole body into subjection, so that he won't run in vain. And that is a chapter entirely on his gospel preaching ministry. So we have all these. Taking care of our well-being. I would only say this. First of all, you have to somewhat disassociate these two things, all right? This God's ordained way for us to enter into glory is the way of the cross. In fact, there's another book that you all read in my class. It's called The Glorious Vision and the Way of the Cross. The cross is the unique way into glory. So suffering, including the human suffering, including sometimes even certain suffering of your physical, even mental being, for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of his ministry, his work, etc. But even you are just a working saint, you're not, you know, in the work or doing this kind of thing, but just as one who loves the Lord and here to gain and experience Christ, here to fulfill his purpose, and so on. This is the ordained pathway. I just say that. This is the ordained pathway. So I've been saved now for 65 years, and I have been in the church life, in the recovery, for 55 years, and I've been serving the Lord in this way for 45 years, something like that. So I would just testify to the truth of God's word. But I would like to also say, though at times when I have to deny my soul, right, myself, I have to not love or care for my soul, my soul life, that means my soulish desires. I have to bear my cross that the Lord has arranged for me on a daily basis in various situations. By his mercy, standing here today, I do not have a bit of bitterness or discouragement, or God is not fair, or woe is me, or why did this happen to me? I don't claim that I'm super Christian, I'm so special, and I'm so enduring and capable. All of this is really, at the end of the day, the Lord's care and the Lord's mercy. But I want to impress upon you that this is the Lord's pathway, so that you don't sit there every day and always hoping for a better day, an easier day. Tomorrow there'll be less suffering. You follow me? If you are always in that mindset, that's not healthy. That's not healthy. I'm not saying you go after more suffering. You pray for more suffering. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that just if you really are here pursuing Christ, the cross is our lot. The cross is our portion. And that is not, I mean, did the Lord in Hebrews, it says, because of he saw what is in front of him, the Lord, he what? He endured the cross with joy. So it depends on what you see. If all you see is pitch blackness, all you see is something terrible happening to you, if all you're looking for just happy day every day, then I would say that is not the right mindset. We don't suffer. We suffer or we don't suffer. We suffer more or we suffer less. The word is that we need to have a mindset to suffer, so that when certain things happen, we would not be so quick to complain, to murmur, and all of this. You know, brothers and sisters, I don't know, many of you are so-called millennials now. I don't know whether there's Gen Z here, I don't know. But it seems to me there's some truth to say that with this younger generation, and it's a bit of a blanket statement. There's this notion of entitlement. you feel you owe this. You feel that you have a right to that. You have that privilege. In fact, you're entitled to this or that. And when you don't get that, you just say, hey, there's no justice here. I'm being wronged. I'm being mistreated. Do you follow me? I don't think the previous generation was like that. Maybe a little bit, but not to this extent. You know the greatest generation? Have you heard of that? That's the folks who've been through World War II, right? That generation. You know, if you go back to those days, people have been through the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl, and the war, and some even have to go to war. In those days, they don't even know what PTSD is. And they come back like, you know what I mean? All they have is the bottle, am I right? Marriage broken up, people going crazy. So, yes, don't think that they are more suffering today than yesterday or the previous times. No, human life itself is full of suffering. And now I'm not just talking about a merely human life, we're talking about the divine life, which always is in the principle of death, through death into life. If no death, no life. If there's no suffering, there would be no ministry to speak of. So, I just say this much, and I can only present myself as a tiny little bit of a testimony. And I believe other older saints can share a similar kind of a testimony. But I'm not unhappy. I'm not, tomorrow something worse will happen. You know, I don't do that. I just live. I just go on. But when things would happen according and everything that happens to us, brothers and sisters, you have to realize it has been allowed by God. There are things that is directly from Satan's attacking us. That, I would say, is in the rare case. But in most cases, whatever would happen to us is allowed by God. Not to mistreat you, not to abuse you, right? Not to hurt and harm you, but to transform you, but to make you the same as he is, but to help you, that outer man, to decay, right? Day after day, to be consumed day after day, so that the inner man can be renewed also day by day. And this is the only way we enter into the reality of a new creation. So I say a lot of things here, but I hope, brothers, you have this holistic view concerning the Christian life, the church life. Okay. Do you take care of your well-being? Yes. All right? I say a strong yes. But there has to be a balance there. All right? If you're not careful in so-called taking care of your well-being, you will very quickly become what? A lover of the self. You know, there are three kinds of non-lovers in 2 Timothy. The lover, non-lover of God, non-lover of good, am I right? And three kinds of loves, sorry. Lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure. I think I'm correct. If you and I are not careful to take care of our own well-being too much, you can become a lover of self. Every moment you're looking at, am I, you know what I mean? Am I okay? Am I healthy? Am I doing everything right? And you can go to the extreme on these things, right? Having said that, to take care of our well-being, which also you can find in that book, The Character of the Lord's Workman, in the last chapter. Brother Lee's niece spoke much about taking care of your health, your body. At the one hand, in another chapter, he said you should be ready to suffer and sleep on the floor when you go gospel preaching, and eat whatever is in front of you, served to you, even if it makes you sick. He said that. And you don't go around complaining. You just have that mindset. On the other hand, he exhorted us to take care of our health. And Brother Lee certainly helped us in that way. So, but again, it's a matter of being balanced, and you don't go overboard. And you know, people who go overboard, every minute they're spending the time to take care of their well-being, you become so self-centered, and you just forgot everything. You just care for yourself, your convenience, your happiness, and you cannot even afford a time, talk about being Gates, for other people who are suffering more than you, that we're supposed to take care of and minister to, because you're too busy thinking about you are suffering. You are not tended to. Nobody cares for me. Do you follow me? I tell you, this has to change. This has to change. I say this as healthy advice to the young people, the young generation. Even if you're not in the church, if you're just a person, you know, just a young person, I would say that to you. Things are just too easy, you know, everything is me, mine, and I. You see, this is not the way to take care of your well-being, but to take care of your health, always in those main areas. I'm an old man, it's actually the same thing, you know, as long as you're a human being. Physically, you need to take care of what? Take care of, you really mean you are taking care of your well-being, okay? You take care of what you eat, your diet. You take care of having a healthy amount of exercise. This is very important. Don't think I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not any of those. But this is normal, to take care of this God-given body for His purpose. What else? The proper amount of rest when it's possible, right? And what else? Rest balance. And even Brother Nee even talk about sometimes certain kind of diversion humanly, you know? You have some kind of a hobby, or you do something. I don't mean, you know, nothing sinful or nothing worldly in that way, but something that will give you certain diversion. But that is normal. But don't go overboard in the name of taking care of my well-being. You're sucked into something and wasting all your time there, right? Then nowadays, very, very important is the mental health side, all right? Not just the physical side, but the mental health side. But even with that mental health side of things, you can overthink and overdo it, you know? But it is something that we also have to note and take care of, so that our tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body, would be relatively healthy. Again, none of this is just for you, just for your happiness, but it is for us to have a balanced human life, living here on the earth for God's purpose. I don't know if that's helpful. It's not such a mysterious thing. We have a doctor here, right? I mean, I mean, old people, they say, you know, the people, old people, they retire, and that's the quick path to death. Because after they retire, they have no purpose anymore. Before, when they work, getting that paycheck is enough motivation and purpose to drive your life. But after that, you lose any purpose. And when you lose your purpose, that's when you go this way. Older people, many of them become lonely. They do not have a healthy social life. Social life is so important, right, for a human existence. So meaning and also a social life is important for us to be normal and healthy. Well, praise the Lord for the church. Amen. I tell you, the church like gives me all the social opportunities and then some. Isn't it wonderful? I really don't know how I can live without the church life in these 50 years, 50 some years. The church life saved me, even my health. Really, I mean that. Purpose and meaning, my goodness, my life is filled with purpose. So is yours, right? So we should not have much problem there. But the problem often gets in when they are, you know, bad habits, addiction, and things of that nature. Those things can really cause you problems. So we need to even not have those kind of things. So today, young people, you know, so much time on computer games, and even so much time on the device that affects your sleep, and many, many ways. While you're thinking you're here to take care of your well-being, you're actually hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. So adopt a healthy lifestyle for the Lord's sake. Okay, I may be spending too much time on these questions. You brothers have anything to add to that? Well, young people, young saints, it's not bad to look sometimes to talk to some older saints about this. Not all of them, not all have good experiences, but some do, all right? We're just normal people, okay? We're overcomers, but we're not Superman, okay? We don't live that way and have that kind of mentality. We're just normal believers living an ordinary life, but yet so, so special. So divinely human. Okay, what is the fine line between delegated authority and anointing in our spirit? All these big, big questions. Well, again, you know, they don't conflict. They're not mutually exclusive, all right? There is the aspect of authority in this universe, because the top thing in this universe besides God is his throne. You take away the throne, there's almost no God. So authority is of God, and enter a rebellion by Lucifer, who brought this whole universe into a state of rebellion against authority, because he wanted to be God, to replace God. And then the subsequent fall of man, all would partake of that rebellion. And today, submission to authority becomes a great big problem. It's part of the fall for men not to be submissive to God, and not just to God, but to God's ordained and appointed authority. That's why Paul, he spent what, half a chapter in Romans chapter 13 just to talk about secular officers, you know, IRS, you know, the policeman, right? No, you read it. You know, if we just follow the Bible, we'll have a lot less problem in society today. But the fallen man just taken over by this kind of a rebellious spirit, They just want to throw that, cast that off. So I have recently given a number of messages. I gave one on life and authority to a group of co-workers and elders. They're in a Far East country, an important country. When I read that again, then I gave another message on rebellion recently. I just recorded it. The rebellion of Korah. You know Korah and his company and 250 leaders of Israel? You go and study that. That is actually the fifth rebellion in the wilderness. All right. So there must be a time, talk about authority, that you and I, the proper believers, have to confront, have to face, and learn submission, and to have the mind of Christ in Philippians 2, who what? Who would learn obedience, right? Eventually, even the death of the cross, etc. And even with delegated authority, whether it's at work, in the church for sure. So you can tell a person by not much contact, I mean a saint in the church, whether this person have ever faced authority or not, whether they have ever learned the lesson of authority or not. There's a difference in this person. Those who have and those who have not. If we want to go on in the Lord and in the church life in a proper way and a good way, we cannot skirt this lesson. We cannot dodge this bullet. Sooner or later, we need to learn authority because this touches the headship of Christ and this touches the throne of God. That is God's government and administration. This is actually a huge matter in the church life. However, there is something called the anointing in our spirit, and actually that is the Spirit's moving within us, that is Christ living within us. Christ living us, Christ is the head, right? Christ is the preeminent one. Christ is, does have the first place in this universe as God has assigned it. And he is living within us, anointing us, leading us in how to do, what to do. So you say, well, these two things conflict with each other. Should I listen to man or should I listen to God within? Well, we need both. We need both. A lot of the daily things, brothers and sisters, we just learn to follow the Spirit. Set our mind on the Spirit and follow the Lord's leading. Those are just daily affairs. But when there are matters that are touching, that are beyond that, something that you cannot solve, that you don't know how to face, there are also particular situations related to church affairs and matters, there is this matter of authority that may come into play. And at that time, we need to be possessed of the right spirit, a spirit of submission, and yet at the same time, we may bring forth something in a good way for fellowship in the body. And there is where you will, not a fine line, but that's where you would have to learn how, you know, between what the brothers may say, right? Or, and also some leading within you. And when there is difference, that doesn't mean the world is falling apart. There's some difference there. Then you learn what to do. In a lot of our learning, it is just safer not to proceed when there is some speaking in the body about a matter that may be different from so-called your leading. That doesn't mean who is right, who is wrong. It's a matter of being safe. Do you follow me? There may be certain things that you have not seen and you do not understand that the brothers may. And they did not tell you because they're not free to say certain things. And you would do well to follow their advice in a proper kind of a way. Okay? You will, these are all lessons to learn. Lessons to learn. But you do have to learn how to follow the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I think even this lesson on the anointing is not taught enough in our regular church life. The saints are not so exercised in the matter of the anointing. The anointing is different from the sense of the Spirit. The sense of the Spirit is more reactive, okay, more reactive, whereas the anointing is more active. That is the Lord moving within you, leading you in certain things. That's like you, should I move there, migrate there, right? You have certain feeling, but the brothers or those who are over you may have something different. We feel you should wait. Well, if I'm a young person, I would feel very covered if I follow the brothers. Do you follow? You understand what I'm saying? You know, I'll tell you, God's best tool is time. There's nothing better that God would use to try us, to test us, even to lead us, than time. Time will always tell. All right? So you don't need to be so hurried, so much, so headstrong, so determined. I've got to do it now. The Lord is leading me. I don't care what you say. You are coming out of a certain covering and protection there. All right? So these are all lessons we have to learn in the church life. Okay? Regarding the preaching of the gospel, another question. A lot of the ministry and our songs emphasize God as grace being and doing everything for us. That's the definition of grace. It's easy to recognize that our person is not inclined toward man and turn to the Lord to resolve this within us. Yet the life we live is still us living. Christians in denomination often have a just do it, a word of fellowship or mentality. I feel this is in line with knowing our God, showing strength and taking action. Can you balance my view? Seems like this afternoon all the questions is about how to balance two legitimate things, two needful things. And I'll tell you, saints, the way to go on is to take the balanced way. Amen. As a Christian, even as just a human being, to take the balanced way, because the extreme way or the radical way usually have its pitfalls, mm-hmm. A lot of pitfalls. Mm-hmm. It's better to take the balanced way than the imbalanced way, okay? So again, here it is. Here are two things. One is just do it. You know, go do it. This morning I said, we know our God, right? Show strength, take action, okay? Then over here, I don't do it, grace does it. Which one is right? Is grace doing it, or is it me doing it? Is I live, or is it Christ living? Okay, let's take care of the second question first. That's in Galatians 2:20. What does it say? I am crucified with Christ.
No longer I live.
What?
Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
Which I now
nevertheless, right? I live. But the life that I live is not me living, right? So you see, Paul is just like this, is it? You read that, you say, who is living here? Come on, Paul, just tell me. Christ living, good, done, over. Then you say, no, I'm still living. He's living, I'm crucified, but I'm still living. So the crucified person is living? What are you talking about here? Well, the balance is here, you saints. Today, this life that we live is a double life. It is a mingled life, all right? And we have two lives at least, actually more than that, three lives. And it depends on which life you're living by, all right? If you're living by the Spirit, which you have to actively do, you don't just sit there and say, I'm going to live by my Spirit. You don't do that. You live, and in decisions in your daily life and in all the things, what? You actively exercise your Spirit by prayer, by calling on the name of the Lord, and so on. You exercise to set your mind on the Spirit and to follow the Spirit and so on. You do that. You don't just sit there passively and say, Christ is living in me, and somehow he will live in me. No, Christ cannot live without you living first. While you are doing that, then you would also say, it is not me. Paul says what? It's not me. It is by the grace that I labor more abundantly. So both are true. One is, I live. I have to exercise. I also, this is a very important subject, and that is a problem of many of us in the church life, is we have been lured, L-U-R-E, into a kind of passive state, into passivity. Brothers and sisters, don't be passive. When it comes to spiritual things, don't be passive. I don't mean you jump up and down and you use your natural energy to do this or that, but I do mean, you heard in the ministry, what is that? Passive, active, or active, passive. So the example is this. Paul says to Timothy, be empowered. All right? I tell Timothy, be empowered. Well, what should he do? What should he do after he hears this imperative, right? Be empowered. What should he do? Should he empower himself, or should he sit there and be empowered?
Be empowered.
Hence, active, passive. So, if Timothy hears, be empowered, Timothy should not just sit there and lie there and say, okay, be empowered, God will empower me. Well, how come God is not empowering me? I like to sleep. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to preach the gospel. I don't want to do anything. I just want to enjoy. That's not the way. That's not the way. Do it. Preach the gospel. What do? You sit there. I don't know. I'm not empowered yet. Be empowered. I'm not empowered yet. How can I preach the gospel? That's wrong. That's wrong. When the word comes, be in power, may I say, you empower yourself.
Yeah.
How? Mm-hmm. You exercise your spirit.
Right.
You stir up your heart to make it warm. You stand up, you go take action and preach the gospel and speak to someone. While you are doing that, while you are taking the initiative to power yourself, I tell you, the Spirit follows to empower you, to supply you, to energize you in ways that is beyond what you can do. You see, this is the principle of incarnation, that God doesn't work alone, neither does man. God and man are mingled. We live and work together now. So, you should hear the word from Daniel. Those who know their God, show strength and take action. I do that. But when I do that within me, I say, Lord, only you can do this. Only grace can do this, what I cannot do. This endeavor is too great. This matter is too beyond me. I'm burdened, I'm stirred, and I'm making a move. But at the same time, Lord, I take you as my grace to do this matter. No conflict. No conflict there. And this is a very deep lesson to learn, and very necessary lesson to learn. Be strong. This Paul says, be a man. He said, be a man. Well, how do I be a man? Well, you're a man, so you better be a man. Just be a man. Okay, I'll be a man. But at the same time, right? Then he also say words like, be perfect. This is the Lord's word. Be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, you try to be perfect. Anyone here try to be perfect? Without the Lord, without his life, how can we be perfect at all as the Father is perfect? Yet the Lord's word is be perfect. In other words, you have to do something. Don't blame it all on God. Don't leave it all to the Lord and excuse yourself. You take action. You take action. You exercise your being in the things of the Lord. And at the same time, you have the deep conviction, not I, but Christ. Not I, but grace. So this is another lesson to learn. Okay? Are you okay? Amen. Saints? One of some of the practical things I can do to train my spirit to clearly listen to the voice of the Lord in my daily living, especially to carry out the Father's will. Okay. Well, just do it. And in doing, you will learn. You know, this saying is right. On the job training, you learn things when you do it. It's you. If you just sit there, it's just contemplating, it's just kind of a conjecturing and imagining. It does you no good. It doesn't help you to get anywhere. So you said, I want to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful aspiration. Well, what you do, you learn to take time. You know, the Lord is like just any one of us. I mean, if I just, hey, you got 2 minutes? Yeah, sure, I got 2 minutes. But be sure, in 2 minutes, I won't tell you that much. Definitely, I won't tell you, pour out what is on my heart in 2 minutes. You really want to talk to me? Give me at least 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. How about 2 hours? Yeah. Better. Then I'll pour out. Mm-hmm. God is like this. Mm-hmm. One problem that we don't know the Lord, we don't know God so much, we don't hear him, is because we don't spend enough time with him. Or the time with the Lord is not lengthy enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we have time for all kinds of things that will occupy hours of our time, just like this. But when it comes to the Lord, 2 minutes only. I got things to do. I'm busy. You learn, dear saints, to spend time with the Lord. You know, remember Abraham and Jehovah and the two angels came? It was a long conversation. I think it was a whole morning. You know, Sarah has to cook the meal they talk, and they never got to the point yet, but they start talking. And Jehovah has all kinds of things he wants to say to Abraham, but the time is not right. It took all that morning, or however hours, that they were together when it comes to the point that the Lord felt ready. And even at that time, you know what? The two angels left first because they have a job to do. And then Jehovah was also going to leave. What did Abraham do? So long. See you tomorrow. What did Abraham do? Huh? He kept with him. All right? He's walking away, whatever. He just stuck with him. That sticking with Jehovah caused Jehovah to sense that this man has something in him and he's ready. And then out came that marvelous conversation between God and man. No wonder Abraham is called the friend of God. The friend of God, like none other. An intimate friend of God. And there, it's after this long process, eventually he opened up about Sodom, about Gomorrah, about Lot, about all of this. I tell you, there is a simple art to being with God in fellowship. It's called time. Mm-hmm. It's not some skill, okay? It's just called time, meaningful time you're with the Lord. You just do this kind of 2-minute thing, 5-minute thing. It may be okay, you know? In the morning, you didn't have time. It's okay. It's not wrong. It's better than nothing. But if you are just a 2-minute Christian with God, I will assure you, will not know God. You will not know him. God takes time, just like any human being. In order for us especially to reveal what is at the bottom of his heart, what is his will, these more serious matters, you better spend more time. And sometime even one time with the Lord, you won't get it. You need to spend another time with the Lord, even times with the Lord, again and again, over some serious matters. But isn't this wonderful? To have to spend time with the Lord? Amen. And eventually to know his heart? Isn't this a wonderful and glorious thing?
Amen.
You see? We think some other thing is more important.
Yeah.
More important than the Lord. Can you believe it? There are things more important than the Lord. Nothing is more important than the Lord. Everything can wait. God cannot wait. Just learn and spend these times. In the beginning, there's some hit and miss. In the beginning, there's some struggles. You have to find the Lord, and you have to let the Lord be found by you. What is that, the Lord's word? Seek. Ask, seek, and knock. Why did the Lord give that parable? That is to impress us. There are stages. If you are just asking, kind of like nonchalantly asking, you get one kind of response. When you have a further seeking, you get another kind of response. When you start knocking on that door, I'll tell you, you will get a third kind of response from the Lord, from whoever that you're asking or petitioning. God is just like a person, just like you and I, all right? Treat him as such. I hope this is useful. Amen?
Amen.
It seems like this is something we all should know already, but okay. I read the story of the history of the Lord's recovery recently, the church in Fuji. I'm not sure I should answer this question. Maybe. Sorry. Okay. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't either. To work and have a family or to serve the Lord full time. I don't know what the rest is, and help and this something. Anyway, I don't know what to do with my life. That's not so good, not to know what to do with your life. You need to find out what you should do with your life. All right? I'd like to say something here, and that is, brothers and sisters, we are human beings. We're not angels, okay? I did a study last night with Travis's help on the angels, because the angel for every gate, and I have something to tell you about angels related to the gate. No, I'm not kidding. I just study it again, and I have some conclusion. All right, but we're not angels, okay? We are human beings. And there are a set laws that operate in human beings. And you, if you don't abide by those laws, if you will, or principles, you have a messed up life. You will not have a proper life. You're going against the very law of nature, the natural laws based on which God created the human beings. The whole creation are controlled by laws, God's laws, so that this whole universe can operate in this rather orderly way. The human life is the same. The angels, I'm sure, have another set of laws that they operate on to worship God. Their function change, and even the entrance of the New Testament believers caused these angels to have to do something different according to God's economy. All right, so here we are, human beings living a human life. We love the Lord, we pursue Christ, we're for the church life, we're for the New Jerusalem, but we're still human on the earth, living a life here, all right? We need to grow up properly. We need to what? Get an proper education. We need to typically work, right? This is, God says, you know, the fallen man have to work by the what? Sweat of his brow to grow something for his livelihood. That is a law. You cannot change that law. And in order for you to live properly as a human being, you have to abide by those laws. If you eat junk food all the time, you get problems because you're going against the law, eating unhealthily, or you have a, you know, unhealthy lifestyle. You will suffer, not because God hates you and want to make you suffer, but because you're breaking the laws left and right for health, a proper health. So even this matter of knowing what to do with your life, we should not, on the one hand, we should say, Lord, you know, I don't know, I'm following you, that's good. But to always not know what you should do in your life, humanly, is not healthy. That means you have no plan. You just go live day by day, you know, as the Spirit leads me. That sounds good, but that is very unhealthy, all right? Now, to have this unsatiated ambition to be, to achieve this or that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the basic living of a human being. We should know. To work, sounds good. To have a family, sounds good. To serve the Lord, sounds good. I cannot tell you what you should do next. But you should. You should know through, of course, seeking the Lord, but also even humanly, according to your age, according to your background, according to your family situation, you should have some decision made. This could be from someone who is very, very, like nowadays, a lot of young people, indecisive. It could be that. You're afraid to make a decision because that decision may be wrong. But life is like that. You have to take risks. You have to make a decision. And when you take the step, that step will tell you whether you're in the right track or not. Am I right? Then you pivot or you adjust course. This is human. I'm doing this human talk, right? I'm not, you know, praying. I'm not just talking about being human. I don't know. I really don't know what you should do. But I believe the Lord is not here just leaving you, oh, I don't care. You want to get married, that's your business. You work, that's your business. You serve me full time, well, or whatever. I don't think God is like that. That's not God having a problem. It's you, right? So you have to lay these things before the Lord. Practically consider these things. Don't be too spiritual. Practically consider these things, all right? And seek advice, and then you will have a certain pathway. This may not be perfect, you know, but it is a pathway that is not you always floundering, always like this. That is just simply not healthy, even to your Christian life. I hope you're okay with that kind of answer. How do you know the Lord can use you in your profession? I don't know. Just go do it. And you'll find out. Just talk to some people that can advise you. You know, they have counselors. They have people that help you measure your, you know, what do you call it? They have tests, aptitude tests, and even professional, what field is good for you. I believe in those things if they're properly administered. And you say you don't know, well, get some help. And that will help you. How do you know the Lord? If the Lord can use you in that profession, again, I don't know. You just have to do it, and the Lord will lead you. The Lord will lead you. You know, we want to have every answer to 100% before I take one step. Yeah. I'll tell you, you will never move. You will never move. You know, a long time ago, I got this most helpful illustration, and that is the illustration of a centipede. A centipede is a little bug with 100 feet. Not 100 feet, 100 little feet. So he was just doing his thing, and some other animal comes and say, hey, you got 100 feet. Have you ever thought, when you start to move, which foot do you use first? That got this centipede into his mind. Well, that's a good question. I got 100 of them. I never thought about that. So he spent the next hours figuring out which was his first foot. 100 of them. It's not 2. 100 of them. And for the longest time, he could not move. Through the night, he could not move. He's just sweating or whatever he's doing. Then the morning comes. He woke up or whatever. The sun shined through the leaves dripping, you know, with dew. And suddenly he saw that, and he just went for it. Who cares which feet? It's the living. Am I right?
Yeah.
don't be so much in your mind. I don't mean you don't use your mind to consider, to be thoughtful. You shouldn't be crazy. But at the same time, we all have to also learn to be simple. All right? Take the first step. The first step will lead you to the second step. And the second step will lead you to the third step and the fourth step. Am I right, brothers? In our life, that's how it happens. Even in marriages. You said, oh, who should I marry? You know, like the centipede. Oh, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you know. Hamlet, what is Hamlet? To be or not to be. To be or not to be. Is that sister to be or not to be? Is that sister to be or not to be? Oh, I don't know. Lord Jesus, I see some brothers doing this for years. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying things should be a little simpler than that. Yeah. Now, I don't mean you go crazy, you, and everyone is different. I'm not saying we're all the same. You know, the Lord leads you in different environments, situations. Okay. But I am saying, brothers and sisters, life is complicated in love enough. Let us be simple. Huh? Shall we be simple people? I don't mean simple-minded. That's different. I mean single and simple. In our human life, in the life with the Lord, all right? So that we don't waste so much energy in being indecisive. That takes a lot of energy to be indecisive, you know. To figure out answers to questions that need not be asked. That's a lot of energy right there. Let us just love the Lord, follow the Lord, keep the principles and laws, and obey the Lord's arrangement in our environment, you know, and just go on, and just go on, right? Time will reveal things. The Lord will show you more things as you go on. And life will teach you more things as you go on, right? Provided our heart is proper and pure. Okay, I answer all the questions except one.
Amen.
Is that it?
Yeah.
What time is it?
Yeah, 20 minutes left.
20 minutes left.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
You probably have something you should say.
Your burden.
Well, okay, my burden. My burden is like that brother here, that black brother. I don't know whether he's here. The last one who gave a testimony there. God needs gates.
Amen.
That's it. That's my burden. Okay, I'm done. Well, tomorrow, I hope that Brother Vernon, tonight actually I need the time to finish the second part of the message because I didn't get to the pearls. I only cover the triune entrance, right, all of that. I did not cover the matter of the pearl. And this matter of the pearl is important because it has everything to do with how we become the gates intrinsically, all right? So this is a very important, and there's a lot of ministry reading I want to do again to help all of us. So I'll do that tonight. And tomorrow, I suggest we will still give everyone that last message outline, but tonight's outline three, that I think we should pass out to the saints. I don't know whether I can get to it. I may a little bit, you know, but I'll have to see. Tonight's outline, which is message three, is very important. It's amazing how consistent Brother Lee is in his ministry. And this one, of course, this tonight, I think tonight's message have to do with the two veils. The screen at the outer court as an entrance through which you enter into the holy place, and the veil through which we enter into the holiest of all. And so all these have the connotation of being gates, entrances, access, right? And Brother Lee personified these pillars, holding up these screens and veil. Firstly, the Lord himself, in both cases, the screen, and then the veil. But not just that, in this case, all that apply to us in our identification with Christ. And it is through that that we also become the corporate screen and veil through which others can enter into God. So we'll cover that. That will be in message three. So I think what I'll do is this. If I can get to that, we'll get to that. If not, we'll get to that tomorrow. But still leaving some time to speak about the Midwest, about USA, yeah, about America. And also this current burden to give away Bibles and to brothers and sisters, I think the Lord's recovery is at a pivotal moment, a true pivotal moment, to turn from a primarily inward-facing church life to an outward-facing one. Remember this morning I said, first of all, to pray, not for even the church, to pray for all men. Do you get that? That is the Lord's words. We are easily consumed with the things that are right in front of us, all right? All the things right in front of us. But we need to lift up our eyes, as the Lord say, and look at the harvest. Look at the fields that are white, ready for harvest. We need to look at God's need and God's burden to broaden and enlarge ourselves so that we can live a life matching his move today. I believe a lot of this will fall and must fall on the shoulders of the working saints. I don't mean we don't need older saints, neither I mean we don't need younger saints. But a lot of this burden should fall on the shoulder of the working brothers and sisters. So I hope that you would take note of that and receive the word in that way. There's a lot. Yes, you're getting married, you're having children, you're raising family, and with all the challenges that comes with these human life and things, job matters, school matters, and all kinds of things, all right? Personal matters. But brothers, I like to tell you again as a testimony here, in the end, you know, when you get to my age and look back the rearview mirror, you will find that many things that used to be so important, are actually not that important. What's is important and always will be important is what? Is God and his need and his desire and purpose. So I just have this word for you: seek first the kingdom of God, and it doesn't end there, and The first is a charge, but there is a promise that follows this charge, a gracious promise. And all the rest will be added to you. In other words, all your other needs, your human needs, your life needs, your personal needs, all that will be added to you. I can surely testify this in my life. Hold on to the kingdom. You're here for God's kingdom first. You know, this word first is very important. First of all, pray, right? Not second of all, first of all to pray. That means the first service is to pray. Here, seek our seeking. It's man is a seeking being. He's made to seek. There's a drive, you know, there's a need to do something, to gain something, to accomplish something. It is in the human nature. So seek. It's okay, seek. But seek what? First, the kingdom. The moment your priorities are down, are upset, that's when problems proliferate and grow. But to seek first the kingdom involves a price. It does. You know, just like my first answer to the way of the cross, God, the Lord did not, what? Sugarcoat anything. The Lord did not compromise with the reality. Follow me, take the cross. Follow me, deny yourself. Follow me, lose your soul life. He said it. And we gladly take it because we love him. And we saw this vision, and we are moved, deeply moved by his need to join him in his divine enterprise to gain what he's after. And he wants that kingdom. So, by the way, New Jerusalem is that eternal kingdom. Yeah? First the kingdom. And these things will be added to you. There are things that even I did not ask for, the Lord added in his grace and by his mercy. Because a promise is a promise, and no one is as faithful as God is. I can guarantee you that. He paid the price, the Lord, to gain us, to gain you and I. He laid down his soul life to do that. But ultimately, the reason he gained us, or went through all of that to gain us, is fulfill his Father's heart's desire. Amen. We should do the same. I believe in the Midwest, this is a substantial, strategic part of America. I mentioned to you, I study some history, U.S. history, how many, not just famous people, useful people to this country came from the Midwest. And of course, this country moved from east to west, so I understand there's a historical side of things. I just believe there are a lot of good people here, but not just good people, but Christians here, and even unbelievers, but proper unbelievers here. And so many universities here, right? Just countless universities. The Lord must have a prevailing, strong and powerful testimony here in the middle part of the country. I don't want to go back to history, you know, what we've been through and all of that. It did a number on us, but it's over. It happened 20 years ago. No point in just looking back and bemoan whatever happened. Brothers and sisters, we got to look forward at the Lord's coming. Amen?
Amen.
You see the wars, right? It's not only, there's two world wars right now. World wars. There are two of them right now. There's no end in sight. And Israel is still pivotal, not only in this war, in the other war actually as well. All of these things, I mean, I don't know whether I have time. I have a burden to talk about Revelation, to touch prophecy, all right, in a proper way, so that we can understand where we are, what time is this place, especially the USA, especially America. What role is it playing, and what role it has to continue to play for God's interest? Then we would know what we should do, all right? I am not born here. I'm a naturalized citizen. I'm an immigrant, used to be called an alien. Got my green card and got my passport. But today, I tell you, sometimes I feel like I'm a split person. Am I American? Am I still Chinese or what? But I will tell you one thing, that this country is special. And this is my country now. It's not special because the people are better, smarter, you know? They are smart. No, it is because God has, in his sovereignty, have arranged things as he did over the ages to administrate the earth situation for his move in a particular age, the same today. And the U.S. is key. The most key country. In fact, the country that God is using, and likely the last country that God will use to facilitate his move. We're in special times, and we've been given everything, everything. Genesis to Revelation, all opened up. And the Lord has preserved his recovery in this country, even after so many turmoils, rebellions. I would say more one than ever. More one than ever. The churches, the saints. But the Lord, his heart is beating for something that is still yet to be done. And that is for this recovery of his to be prevailing as the testimony of Jesus, for this truth that has been poured out upon us to be released and to be propagated, to go out. And for this gospel of the kingdom to be preached to this inhabited part of the inhabited earth. That's why the Lord's recovery is here. Brothers and sisters, you are that generation. And I hope you would all rise up to bear this burden. Bear this burden. I can truthfully say, with a great deal of assurance, that this is what is in Brother Lee's heart. We're not, you know, exalting or, you know, uplifting a man. But we all also soberly have to admit he is a genuine minister of the age, along with Brother Watchman Nee. I mentioned that yesterday. So we're here. They're gone. We have to continue further to further advance the Lord's recovery in our times. So those who know their God should what?
Show strength
and take action here in the Midwest, in the heartland of America. Okay, I think we better stop here.
Thank you.